Always come to run. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. What a God we serve. Oh, I tell you, he's a God makes things exciting. The devil tries to come and destroy, but God gives life. My Lord. Where it seems that there's no sunshine, God will let the sun come out.
Come on.
And shine upon the problem. And look, in the hands of God, when we put it in the hands of God, those problems, those situations look small because we have our eyes upon him. And he changes things around. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We do want to welcome everyone here this morning. We want to welcome you. We pray that something we say or do will encourage you in your walk with the Lord. As you serve him daily, as you give him your life daily, as you listen to him daily, as you obey him daily, that God will do a mighty work in this area. But we do want to thank you for your tithe and offerings. Last Sunday, tithe and offerings was $301. So thank you for your giving. We pray the blessings of God upon your family. Remember what God says. God says, and when God says, we're to listen. When God says, when he speaks, he said, give. He says, give. Now, I didn't say it. I'm just following what the book says. God says, give 10% to the church. Okay, Lord. When we obey, it says that he will open up the windows of heaven. And that's just a figurative speech, you know. But it says that blessings will flow. Not that we give to get blessings, but God promises blessings. You see? And so we give out of obedience to the Father and his word. And when we do that, he opens up heaven. Us. Praise God. So be obedient in your money towards God. And let God be God in your money. And let me tell you, he'll bless it beyond measure. That 90% will go far more than the 100% by far. Because we stand upon his word and what he promises. So thank you for your giving. We appreciate it. And we pray God's blessings upon you tremendously. Don't forget men's meeting, October the 5th at 7 o'clock in the building. Never mind. We just thought of something. Wait, I'll have to come back on that situation here.
Yeah.
Or the meeting or this. Okay. We'll figure out a place. Yeah. Somewhere. We'll get it. Y'all know we signed the papers this week for the building across the street. We signed the building. And it cost us $105 to register what we bought, cash money, at the clerk of court. Everybody needs their money, I guess. It's not free, but thank God we had it. So, this is the paperwork. I just want to read one segment. This, you know how it is, one of the legal aspect of all this stuff. It says, Gaydon International Church, LLC, a Louisiana limited liability company, with its principal business offices located at 306 Main Street, Gaydon. Represented here by Joseph Boutain, duly authorized pastor, hereafter referred to as Big D, whether masculine, feminine, singular, or regardless of number or gender, the following described immovable property located in Dominion Parish, state of Louisiana, and in it lists the section there that we have just bought. And we have all the signatures here. Then we have to give her a check for $65,000. But that's, she took it. No. It's like, I don't know, honestly, looking back, I don't know if I ever signed a check with that amount. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, to ever sign a check for that amount of money, I don't know. I don't think. We paid off our house. I don't know. She signed it. I don't know. Yeah. She got all the money inside. Yeah. But for that amount of money, but you know what? It's a testimony. I'm telling you. It's a testimony to this community what God can do. What God can do. What God can do. And so, you know, and talking about, you know, buildings, we're planning on putting next Sunday Children's Church in that new building. And so that's why I'm thinking about, we're going to have the men's meeting. It'll either be in here or it'll be in one part of the new building or whatever, you know, to have our meeting and stuff. But so we're going to be out by the end of September in that little building so we can save money there. You see, we try to save money in any way that we can, you know. That's why we were able to pay off that building, because of the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of you in giving your tithe and offerings to the church. And I tell you what, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That we didn't have to go and beg and borrow, you know, and they make money off of, you know, what we borrow, which that's what they do, you know. And but thank God for what he's given. So we signed all the papers. That was Thursday. And so everything was recorded Friday. The lady, most of her stuff, she's going to be out by Tuesday of this week. And we'll have our stuff. We're going to start working and doing as we can. Honestly, you know, there's some things that have to be done, and it's going to take some money. And so we're going to do what we can with what we have as money comes in. That's all I can do. I'm not going to go borrow to buy anything for that building. I mean, I just won't. Not that borrowing is bad, you know, I'm not trying to, but you become subservient to that lender. And I don't want our church to ever be in that predicament if we can help it and stuff. So you might say, what are we going to do? There's things that need to be done. The wall needs to be torn down. You know, there's a stage that needs to be built. There's, you know, sound booth that needs to be built. I mean, there's wiring. You know, there's wiring all in these walls here for all this. It takes time. But we're going to try to get in there as soon as we can. And you might say, well, what are we doing with this? We're keeping this building because we need place for men's meetings and whatever other stuff that needs to, you know, suppers and dinners and whatever else, you know, that needs to go on, that we can come in here. And so pray for us. Pray that God will give us wisdom, show us how to do it, you know, how to get things done. We have a sketch, a plan, you know. We think we kind of know how to do it, you know, but Lord, you know what's best. He knows what's best. What I'd like for you to do is, this is our building. Well, the papers, yeah, we own it. We own this, y'all. Can you imagine? I mean, you know, we had people tell us we wouldn't last a year, you know. We wouldn't be here. And look what God has done. Look what God has done and is going to do. Because God just doesn't open up buildings just to open it up. There's a reason and a plan. God knows what he's doing. So if you would stretch forth your hand, and as we pray and ask God and we dedicate this building, Father, we come to you this day. And Lord God, you see this building, Lord God, that you have given unto us. And Lord, Father, we want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, first of all, for what you've given unto us, Lord. But Father, I pray that you would give us the funds to finish it, to get it where we need to get it. Father, Lord, I pray we dedicate that building to you, that it would be used for the edification of you, Lord. In all that we do, Lord God, as we gather together, as a church, Bible studies, whatever other things, Lord, that it would be to edify the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I pray as people see the new signs going up on the building, declaring it a church, Lord God, declaring it a place where God could be praised and honored and glorified, Lord, that you will draw the people from the north, the south, the east, and the west, Lord. And as they walk in, Lord God, the power of Almighty God would be upon them, Lord. That repentance would flow, Lord God. That Lord, that healing would flow unto them. Lord God, we pray for a mighty move of revival to take place like never before, Lord God. Revive this church, Lord God. Revive it, Lord God. Speak to it, Lord. Let these bones live again, Lord God. Let revival of the Spirit of the living God to flow unto this place, Lord. Father, we dedicate it unto you and to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that your will be done, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Keep praying, okay, guys, and thanks again. Children's Church and the workers, Father, we pray for a mighty move, Lord God. Lord, let the word go forth with power and authority. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is it on? Yes? No? Maybe so? Amen. Testing 1, 2. Yes. Amen. Praise God. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration recording. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. To turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Starting with verse 3. Revelation 19, verse 3. Starting there. Praise unto our God, people. It said, and again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants. For you who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and a voice of the many waters, and the voice of mighty thunders, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. That means all powerful. All powerful. Verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Here we see where John is recording praise unto our God. John, the disciple John, is the guy or the disciple that wrote the book of Revelations. We know that. He wrote that book. He was put into prison, and his prison was that the Roman soldiers took him and put him on the Isle of Patmos, which was at his end. I need to look it up, see if it's still there. Maybe. In the Isle of Patmos, which was a secluded island with nothing on it, basically. And what they were trying to do, they put him there trying to destroy him as far as a human being, because they found that he was secluded with no one else there. He would go crazy. But God had a different plan. Remember, God knows what's going on in each and every one of our lives. Everything. You know, everything about our families, everything about our lives. And he knew what he wanted John to write. And so he allowed John to be put on this island. And I'm sure John, being the man he is, in the flesh, thinking, Lord, what place? You know, rocks everywhere, you know, secluded with nothing on it. They thought he'd starve to death, you know, all kinds of things. They put him there, and all of a sudden, it says the Spirit of God came upon that place, came upon the island, came upon that island. Because, you see, God had prepared that island for John. Prepared it for John to give him what we now have is the book of Revelation. Thank God. Thank God. I wonder how many people God tried to get to that island of Patmos, but they would not go there. Now, we know John almost had no choice, but he still had a willing heart to do what God wanted him to do. And God put him upon that island. And all of a sudden, it says the Spirit of God came upon this man. And he started to pin down the book of Revelations. My God, what a God we serve. All the things that are written in that book, praise God. Sometimes we may not like being on an island of Patmos. Sometimes we may not like being where God wants us to be. But I tell you what, if we're where God wants us to be, he has our best interests at heart, no matter what. No matter what's going on, he has our best interests at heart. That he's looking out for our souls. He's looking out for our spirit. He's looking out for us. And he knows what is best for us. What sometimes we think what is best for us is not best for us. But what does God have for us? And as he's in there, on that island, all of a sudden, like I said, the Spirit of God came, and he started to write. Can you imagine how John felt humble before God? Just writing down what he saw. Writing down what the Spirit of God put in him. Writing down what God was doing in him. What a God we serve. Sometimes the storms of life we don't want to go through. Who wants to go through a storm? I mean, who wants to go through a storm of life? I'm not talking about just saying, nobody wants to go through a storm in the natural, but, you know, like what they just got in Texas, people. This devastation. No one wants to go through that, but also we don't want to go through the perils of life or the storms of life on the inside either, about what's going on physically sometimes. Always remember this, God is in control. Because you know why? We are his, and God is in control. We are his, God is in control. We are his. God is in control. We are his. God is in control. And let me tell you, sometimes the storms of life will hit you from the backside. It'll hit you from the backside. You'll fall on the ground and you don't know what to do. I know. Been there many times. Recently. You just fall to the ground. Because you know, and when I say that, I'm talking spiritually, because it hits you. it hits you. Because you're not seeing that coming. And it hits you hard. But you get up. And you start praising your God. You may not feel like it. You may not even want to do it. But I want to read a scripture to you, Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Pull that scripture up. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. This is what I want to concentrate on. And I saw heaven open. Now that's John. The heavens open. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called what? Faithful and true. As a Christian, we're all Christians. We can walk around and say that our God is what? Faithful and true. When we walk through storms of life, we can declare that our God is what? Faithful. Okay. When we're at the high mountaintops and everything is going great, we can declare that our God is what?
Faithful
and true. When we're in the valley of decision, we're in the valley of life. We can declare that our God is what?
Faithful.
So what? He is faithful and true when? All the time. When we're going through the high mountains, when we're going through the low valleys, that it is declared by the Word of God. And we know when the Word of God is spoken, we know that it is true. And it was declared by John when the heavens opened that he saw our Savior and our Lord upon the white horse. And he said, He is the one. He is the one. And John declared it. Upon the rock of the Isle of Patmos by himself. But God had opened up this to him, this truth, that God is faithful and true, that our Savior is faithful and true. Let me tell you, that'll get you through many hard times.
Amen.
That'll get you through the difficult times. Of sickness and disease and all kinds of stuff. That our minds are set upon He's faithful and true. Because many of battles for the Christians are won and lost right here. Right here. What we think and what we say. And let me tell you, God is saying, come on people, my church, my people, look to me. I'm faithful and I'm true to my word. I'm faithful and I'm true to the prophecies that I prophesied that they will come forth. I'm true to my word no matter what. And we can declare that our God is a God who is faithful and true no matter what. No matter what's going on in the storms of life. No matter what's going on in the natural out there. No matter what's going on up here or in here. He is faithful and He is true no matter what. No matter what's going on, people. He's faithful and true as we declare. And let me tell you, old Zoofoot that like that, when we look and say our God is faithful and true. Faithful and true, no matter what. You need to get that scripture. You need to write it down. You need to declare who God is. He's a faithful God, and He's a true God to you. No matter what. And when old Slewfoot comes around, and the storms of life start to rise up, and things start to happen that maybe are not so good. You know what I'm saying? That we can declare and we can stand up on the rock of our Lord and Savior and say He is a faithful God and He is a true God no matter what. No matter what's going on in a person's life. You see, sometimes we think as Christians that everything's going to go perfect, you know. And everything's going to go good. And it doesn't happen that way. That's a false statement. You know, fake news, that's fake news. That's fake. It's not true. But it does mean that our God is faithful and true to us, that he will be there for us no matter what's going on. That we can turn to him and he will hear our cry. He will hear our petitions. He will hear the things that are upon our hearts because of who he is. Now, look at this. You to turn, if you would, to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. A book probably you never turned to. I know that. And you might say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because I don't turn to it. But I said, Lord, they have a lot of good truths in there. A lot of good ones, guys. Page 1356, does that help you? Chapter 3, starting with verse 23. Everybody got it? That's kind of okay. It says, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know that old song that we used to sing, great is your faithfulness, great is your faithfulness. They renew every morning. That, you know what that means? That means his faithfulness never runs dry. Ever. Faithful to us. Now, sometimes we're not, you know, so faithful to him sometimes, and that's okay, you know, in the aspect. But he's always faithful to us. Look at verse 24. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. Oh, my Lord, y'all. The Lord is good unto them who wait for him, and to the soul that seeks him. The Lord is good, the Lord is faithful to those that seek him and honor him. He is faithful to his promises, people. He's faithful to who he is. Faithful and true is our God. Go back to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Just want to read this scripture to you. It was talking to the Laodicean church. It says, verse 14, and unto the angel, the pastor of the church of the Laodicean write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witnesses, the beginning of the creation of God. He is a faithful and true witness. I want you to get that in your spirit. Get that in your spirit. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. You know, the first century disciples, you know, when Jesus came on the scene and they accepted him as their Lord and Savior, they thought, man, he's going to be crowned king. You know, he's going to take over and we'll help him. And, you know, everything's going to be hunky-dory and all that stuff. And let me tell you, a lot of them had an eye-awakening experience because they saw their Savior being crucified. They saw their Savior being nailed to a cross. They saw their Savior being tortured with a cat of nine tails. Tortured. They saw their Savior have a spear through his side. They saw their Savior, which is our Savior too, with a crown of thorns upon his head that pierced his skull and punctured his skin. But you see, they thought, you know, well, that he was a new crowned king, and when they saw this, their dreams were crushed. Crushed. But they still stayed true. Yes, some of them denied him. Yes, they did. Some of them ran away. Some of them did. But they all came back except one. We know the one. Judas had sold our Savior out for 30 pieces of silver. And you know what's the saddest part? He didn't even enjoy it. 30 pieces of silver. Such guilt and agony and pain that he went and hung himself. Suicide. Guilty. killed himself, which is such a shame, when God would have taken him back and loved him if he would have repented. But you know, these first century guys, they put their faith and trust in a Savior, just like we have when we got saved. We gave our lives to the Lord and we said, Lord, help us to serve you with everything within us. And yes, we maybe go swayed a little bit to the left sometimes and maybe a little bit to the right, but God was always faithful to bring us back to where we needed to be. What a God we serve. And thank God nothing happened when we say it swayed to the left or swayed to the right. But that he always was a faithful God to bring us back to where we needed to be. You know, the disciples, they thought that he would be crowned king and wasn't. They thought things would happen differently and it didn't. But they saw how faithful God was to them. But also, you know, these 12 guys saw things happen and had things happen to them that I look at and read and go, oh my God, could I do those things? Could I live my life and give my life for the gospel's sake? People, we need to get to a place where we would give our lives for the gospel's sake. And you might say, well, I don't know if I can do it. But you know what? If we're sold out to the King of Kings, God will give us what we need at that time. If that, I'm not even saying that it'll happen, I don't know. But give to be totally sold out to him. You know, Matthew was executed by sword in Ethiopia. That's one of the disciples. Mark was cruelly dragged through the Egyptian city street. I mean dragged. Skin taken off of his body. These are disciples. You know, Luke was lynched in Greece. Peter was crucified upside down. These are the disciples. These are the 12. My Lord. Bartholomew, this is something. Bartholomew was skinned alive for the gospel's sake. My Lord. Thomas was impaled. My Lord. Barnabas was stoned to death. And Paul was beheaded in Rome. Here we see these guys giving everything. Oh, and I sure don't want to be skinned alive, huh? Or crucified upside down. But look, I want you to see, look what, how they were faithful to God. That they did not deny him ever again. God did something great in them after the first denials and all that stuff. That's just like God, how God keeps working on each and every part of our lives. Where sometimes we've slipped here, and how God has come back and he's made us strong in those areas. Strong in the things of God. Strong in the kingdom of God. What a God we serve. As it says in Revelation 19:11, that he is faithful and true. Faithful and true. Faithful. I want you to turn, if you would, to Jeremiah. Chapter 42. Jeremiah chapter 42. Let's just start with verse 2. I think that would be. It said, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech you, our supplication be accepted unto you, and pray for us unto the Lord our God, even for all his remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as your eyes do behold us. That the Lord your God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the things that we may do. And Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever things the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you, and I will keep nothing back from you. Then said Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we will do not even according to all the things for the which the Lord your God shall send you to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send you, that it may be well with us. When we obey the voice of the Lord our God, and I'm going to stop there just for a minute. Here we see Jeremiah. Now, the Bible, let me give you the prefix or the pretense of this before. The Babylonians had gone in and had taken captivity, basically, the Jewish people, if you want to say it that way. Okay, that's how we know it up today. So that's why I kind of imply it that way. They went in to the country, and they just plummeted it. I mean, they took almost everybody. They took all their cattle. They took all their sheep. They just, everything, and anything they didn't take, they burned. They destroyed, they ruined it. Well, there was a segment of people that was left there. They didn't give a number. We don't know how many. But they went to the prophet Jeremiah. See, you might say, why are you telling us? Because I want you to see the faithfulness of God. They went to the prophet Jeremiah. They said, prophet, tell us what God would want us to do. Does he want us to leave and go into Egypt and get away from these people, you know, in case they come back, the Babylonians, because they were the most powerful country, basically, at that time. They had a powerful army, and they took everything from God's people. Or does God want us to stay? Or does God want us to, you know, what does he want us to do? Go and surrender our lives to the Babylonians? What does he want us to do? And Jeremiah, and they said, look, whatever God tells you, we will do. Got to be careful when we say that. Because God may tempt us at our word. Whatever he tells you, Jeremiah, we will do it. So Jeremiah said, okay, I will go before the Lord, and I will find out what God wants us to do. And so this is where we pick up the story. And it says, it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called Johanan, the son of Kareth, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, and all the people from the least unto the greatest, and said unto them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom you sent me to present your supplication before him, if you will still abide in the land, then I will build you, and not pull you down. And I will plant you, and not pluck you up. For I will repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Or that means he allowed unto them. Look, God answered. Okay, 10 days went by. Jeremiah goes before the Lord and says, Lord, what do you want your people to do? That's left. After 10 days, God answers. How many times we give up praying sometimes after 2 days? 3 days. We all laugh because we know, Lord, help us. After 5 days, 10 days went by, and the people kept waiting. Jeremiah, what does the Lord say? And finally he went to the people. Now, they had told him, okay, now, Jeremiah, whatever the Lord tells you, we will do it. And Jeremiah went to the people and said, stay here. Stay here, and God will help you build from the ruins. Stay here, and God will help you to rebuild. So Jeremiah tells the people, this is what thus saith the Lord says. Stay here, and I will help you build from the ruins. And the people looked at him and said, we're scared of the Babylonian king that he comes back for us and destroys us. We cannot stay here. In 10 days, they changed their minds. In 10 days, they went from, Lord, what do you want us to do? God tells them what to do, and now they don't want to do what God wants to do, because they've already made up their mind to go into some other land. And they're thinking the Babylonian king, which is the devil that was speaking to them, would come back and destroy them. Let me tell you something. When God says something, he'll protect you from it. When God told them to stay in that land, Don't you think he knows where the Babylonian king is and where the army is and what's going on and how he can provide for his people, how he can protect his people? When God speaks to you, let me tell you this, God will take care of all the rest. When God speaks, you obey. When God speaks, you obey. And God will take care of all the rest of the stuff. Don't you think that broke the heart of God when they said they didn't? They left. They didn't do what God wanted them to do. Because fear came in for the king. Fear came in of what they would eat. Fear came in of where would they go. Fear came in of where would they stay. Who will supply for me? Who will help me? Fear came into the land. Or into the people. See, we got to stay firm. Lord, what do you want? And not be fearful to let the fear distract us from what God says. See, the Holy Spirit is there. Now we don't have to go to the prophet anymore. You know, God still has prophets because it's the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and preachers. They're still out there. Far and few between, but they're still out there. Good ones. Godly ones. God called ones. Do I need to get more specific? Still out there, though. We might have a prophet in here. You never know. I'm telling you. That God calls, not man. God told him what to do. He's faithful. Now, you might say, well, why didn't God do something to make them obey him? He won't do that. He's given us a free will. Free will. He can speak to us. He can draw us. He can give us visions. He can give us dreams. Godly dreams and godly visions. He can work in those areas. And the Holy Spirit can draw. It's like a big rope that he puts around us and draws us and keeps trying to bring us to where he wants us to be. But we still have the choice of where we want to go or if we want to obey him, the things that he's called us to do. Look, God is faithful and true. If those people would have stayed, God would have given them what they needed for beyond what they could ever think. You know, God would have given them more food than they ever could think. God would have given them more provisions to build their homes, to build their land, to build what needed to be done, to build the wall, everything. My God, what he would have done for them. You see, he's faithful. Sometimes we think, Lord. Yes, Lord. God speaks. Because let me tell you, each and every one of you have been saved by God. And the Spirit of God lives in you. And now he speaks to the individual about their lives, about their callings, what he's doing in them, through his word, through the Spirit of God on the inside. And let me tell you, he's calling. What he wants us to do, rebuild. Rebuild the things that need to happen in all of our hearts and in our lives. Letting God be God. Let me tell you this. God is a faithful God. God is faithful. The devil will tell you God is not faithful. That is so untrue. You tell him to go back to hell where he needs to be. He really can't go because God hadn't destined that to him yet. He's still roaming this earth. God help us. It's true. He's still roaming this earth. Don't take what the devil throws. Take what the Word of God has. And know the Word of God. Say, hey, Revelation 19:11 says, my God is faithful. My God is faithful to give me the money that I need. My God is faithful as a pastor to give me the wisdom and the understanding of God's Word so I can preach to God's people. My God is a God that is faithful and true, that will supply the money that we need to finish that building. Lord, you're going to give us the things that we need. Thank you, Lord. You're faithful and true. You opened it up. You don't open it up just to have it open. You open it up so we can get in there and get people's lives saved. Praise God. Praise God. He's a faithful God. All week I want you to just say, Father, you're faithful and true is my God. Faithful and true is my God. Let me tell you, it's going to tear the enemy up. It's going to tear the works of the enemy up because God is faithful. And let me tell you, when you say that, you're declaring he's God of the universe. He's God of the earth. He's God of this place. He's God of your life. Amen unto our God. Praise and glory and honor unto him, my Lord. What a God you serve. Faithful is he. Go read that story during the week. Read. Oh, I wonder. And I'm about to close. I wonder what would have been built there. I wonder how many men or women, pastors, God called to this area. I wonder what would have happened on that story. A great community of God's people. But they didn't do it. Let's do what God says. He's faithful. He's faithful in speaking to us. He's faithful to supply for us. We just got all of it. You may stand, please.
Governor of California signed an executive order that cannot discipline a child from kindergarten to eighth grade. No discipline. The child can do what he wants, slap the teacher or whatever. He cannot discipline. This is where our world is going.
Yeah, sometimes things may not be good.
This is the beginning.
God is a good God. Keep our eyes upon him. As we close our eyes, I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you ever accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life? Facebook, hey, have you accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life? If you'd like to accept the name, would you please raise your hand? Let's all pray together, because I know we probably have people watching that may and obey. May you say, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as the Lord of my life.
I believe
that you died on the cross, and you rose again from the dead. And you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as the Lord of my life. Lead me and guide me. In Jesus' name we pray. Just a matter of note to you, I just want to tell you, if you haven't seen the building or you'd like to go see it, it's going to be opened up for you. You can go right after church, okay? Just walk through it. Walk through it with eyes of a church, okay? It's not set up right now, like, but I just want to let you know, we got the key and everything, so it's going to be open to you to go and see it and walk around. There's still a few things in there that they have to get out, so just walk in.